For tape, CDs, DVDs, to our publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom, write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Saturday morning, August the 31st, 1991. Labor Day weekend teaching and deliverance camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Jack Duran is the speaker of the morning.
I want you to say this, Heavenly Father, we've gathered in this place to receive from you. Holy Spirit, you are our teacher. We reverence your presence. Teach us, Holy Spirit. Comfort us. Reveal to us the purpose of God for me this day. Set me free. In the name of Jesus, I've come to learn from you. In Jesus' name, break anything, cast away anything from me that has no purpose in this life, that I might worship you, that in your presence, O God, you might consume even my evil thoughts. And I thank you. In the name of Jesus, we bind our faith together, our spirits, for we've gathered for this purpose, that through us, through the power of the Holy Ghost, the works of the evil one might be destroyed. Satan, we put you under our feet that you might smell defeat. In the name of Jesus. Amen. Hallelujah. Now I want you to take a moment. I want to give the Lord a clap offering. And I want you to take a moment and just mingle for about a moment or so. I don't want no strangers in this house. No strangers in the house of God. How many of you gone to camp meeting and nobody talks to you? I have. And it bothers me when people don't talk to me. So you better talk to me so I won't be bothered. You hear? I don't care if the little one is a year old, a mother has him on his arm. You pass by and you say hi to that little one. You understand? Let's give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. Now let's just say hi to each other right now in the name of Jesus. Just God bless you. Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's give the Lord another clap offering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Let me just share something with you, and I want you to receive this in love. Where the areas that have been controversial to you, and you say, well, this is, I'm set in my ways, then you got to move on, hon, because you become like concrete when you're set in your ways. And I know you don't want to be set in concrete. You ain't going nowhere. Stubborn. Let me tell you something. For those things that have been controversial on deliverance, on the rapture, on we're moving in, don't get all huffy and puffy and go talk bad about the brothers. What you need to do is you need to buy the tapes and you need to get in the Word and you need to be a Berean. A Berean is not a bookstore. Somebody asked me, what's a Berean? I says, in Phoenix, it's a bookstore, brother. A Berean is one that searches the Scriptures to see if those things are so. A Thessalonican is one who searches the Scriptures to prove you wrong. Okay? You need to be a Berean. You need to get a hold of the teachings and you need to go through the Scriptures and ask the Holy Spirit to teach you and direct you. There are things that I taught when I first started in the ministry. I've been preaching for 21 years. And there are things, and I'm still learning. I'm still being a Berean. When I hear something that don't quite jive with my theology, then I go to the Master and say, Holy Spirit, teach me. And there are things that I have, I heard some tapes. I was cleaning my garage one time. And that's it. I said, forget it. And I have found some tapes where I was preaching when I started. And I put it on. I said, I don't see how what I was teaching on. And boy, I didn't know it was me. I started rebuking it, you know. And I broke the tapes. I threw them in the garbage. I said, Lord, please don't let nobody hear those tapes anymore. You know? And where the Bible teaches us that in the last days, there's going to be an increase of knowledge and wisdom and the outpouring. It's not just for computers and rockets. It is also that God is opening up the vastness of the gospel to us that we might be greater warriors in this end times. How many want to be a greater warrior? You will never be a greater warrior until you defeat yourself. The only way that you're going to be a mighty warrior for God is when you become zero. Because I don't want to be a zero. Well, you have to be a zero. You have to become nothing that He might become all in you. It's hard to do. Giraffe. It's hard to bring your neck down, you know, when you're proud. And, you know, I always say that to the people. I said, you know, the reason I use the word anointing and annoying is because I one time I thought I was the anointing of God and I was the annoying of the Lord. You know? And some of us are still there. But praise God, He's working with us and through us. He's wonders to perform. I want you to say this with me. Signs will follow me. I will not follow signs. They will follow me. Satan will not be after me. Neither will his demons. They will flee from me. In the name of Jesus. Amen. You know, I have people run into my church sometimes, and I've been doing deliverance and teaching, and they run into my church, and they get wild, and I say, whoa, what's wrong here? He says, the devil's after me, Brother Jack. I said, well, turn around and resist him. You know, what's he doing after you? He should be fleeing from you. He said, Brother, you mean the enemy doesn't come? Yeah, but he has to face me face to face. Amen? I don't want no demon behind me. I want him in front of me so I can rebuke him and bind him. Hallelujah. Let me just share some experiences. I have about 45 minutes of teaching to do because then I know that you're getting hungry. No? Some of you have enough food in you to last for 2 months. You know, a lot of us want to exceed in the kingdom of God, you know, and I know the Bible says that, you know, we're supposed to be the temples of God. Ridiculous because some of you are cathedrals. The cathedrals of the Lord. Amen? Hallelujah. Thank God. That's funny. Cathedral laugh at me. With me. Isn't God good? Let me just share some experiences before I go into the Word. A lot of people in the churches, I always say, I feel very strange and out of place and frustrated when I don't hear people talking about me. I've been a very controversial person in my area. Not because I'm confronting everything that comes against me, but because I'm in deliverance. I don't have to do anything. And if they're not coming against what you're doing, you better check it out. It means you're not doing anything. Amen? And I want to say to you lovingly, and I want you to understand, that deliverance isn't the whole thing of the kingdom of God. Deliverance in the kingdom, in the New Testament, was one-third was deliverance for Jesus. The rest was teaching and administering. And so you need to get a balance, okay? Just because we cast demons out of you today don't mean that there's still a battle and there's still teaching and you still need to get in the Word. And like the sister said, you need to fill up those voids with the Word of God and with the understanding, okay? A lot of people say, well, they cast demons out of you. I feel the same way. I said, have you read the Word? No. Have you been in church? No. Have you prayed? No. What have you done? The same thing. Well, see, if you want your deliverance, you need to learn how to keep your deliverance. I want to be victorious in life. I want to walk in victory. I don't want to walk in condemnation. We know the church for the longest time has used the scripture. Said, well, there's no condemnation, brother, to them that are in Christ. That's true. But it says to those that walk after the Spirit. It's not just to those that are in Christ. They say, brother, there's no condemnation. I ministered to a brother that was in perversion and beating up his wife. He said, well, brother, there's no condemnation. I said, I'm going to punch your lights out if you don't shape up. Because there's no condemnation. Come on, folks. Get real. Nobody wants to touch. I'm hoping that the Lord releases me to preach this message to you tonight on perversion in the Christian bedroom. I don't know if I will or not. I don't know if I have it all together. I need to talk to God some more on it. But I want to just hit on that right now. You need to understand, in the bedroom, we need to be delivered in our bedroom. If we're delivered in our bedroom and in our homes, folks, we're going to have victory in our life. And again, I say to you that one of the greatest ruling spirits in man is a spirit that comes through sexual relations, because we're very sexual and very spiritual. God made us that way. Amen? But I want to say to you, one of the greatest sins in the bedroom is oral sex, and it's in the church, and we need to get it out of the system. We need, you know, if you understand some of the areas in perversion and demonic, remember in the Old Testament, when they got married, they took off for a whole year. Guess what they were doing? Getting it out of their system. But now we have Christ to teach us and teach us all things. And one of the greatest perversion of evil spirits coming to the kingdom of God, it comes through the oral sex and everything that happens in the bedroom. The Bible says such things, it's like serving God and bowing down to a... Somebody said yesterday, nobody... I don't know if they meant my accent or what I'm teaching. How many of you want to be set free? You want to be totally used of God. They say, well, brother, that's my love. That's not love. That's lust. Version. Listen to me. And there are demonic spirits that are coming against you to destroy you. Remember again that our war is not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and evil in high places. My war is not against you. I've already come against you because I'm married to a white woman. But you got a problem. And I'm not defending my right, but you need to understand that under the blood, I'm under the blood. I'm under grace. Know that you have a problem. I love you. I'm not getting mean. I'm getting truthful. Somebody say amen, Brother Jack. You know, last night when the brother was saying, Brother Jack Harris was standing up here and saying, everybody say, I love you, Jack. And I was going to stand up and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. God is good. Let me just share something with you on demonic spirits. Some of you, I'm going to do apologetic on demonic principles this morning, because I want you to get a greater understanding of what demonic spirits are and what they do to us and how they come to us. I had a young man that I had ministered to. I've done a lot of youth ministries. I've done a lot of jail ministry all over the place, the corners, street. You know, I'm one of those that, hey, get in the bar and preach, you know. I used to go to the bars in New Mexico and preach the gospel. And I get even the drunks to give God a clap offering. And they go, yeah. And then I preach to them and speak the word of God. Tremendous miracles of deliverance have happened in dance halls where I've been at. I've gone to the dance halls and banged on the counters and get their attention. And then I tell them, Jesus says that if you drink of this water, you'll thirst again. But if you drink of the living water, and then I get them all to give God a clap offering. One of the greatest revivals that I've had was in a dance hall in my hometown. I went back there and preached. And I got the call. And they didn't want to give it to me on a Saturday, because that's when they made more money. But they gave it to me on a Sunday. They let me use their equipment and everything. And I went in there and prayed. And it happened in that dance hall. The kingdom of God is not saturated to implemented to just be in the four walls of the church. We have gathered in this place to receive instruction, and then we are to go depart and do the work of the ministry. And one of the greatest things that I saw in the dance halls was the ministry of healing and power. I started, one of my brothers had come to one of my meetings, probably one of the dance halls. I had as many people that are here. The drunks, you know, I walked in the bar where I used to get drunk myself, and I walked in there, and it seemed like the same people were there full of spider webs. You know, you see doing cards on it, but the same people were there to preach the word, and they began to come in. And then I called for healing, and the power of God began to move, and I began to bind and cast out demons, and the people began to fall under the power of God. And my brother says, Jack hasn't changed, he's still knocking people over, you know. But I'll tell you one thing, it is real. And I boast on the Lord. You know, I boast on the Lord. I don't have a degree. I don't consider myself what God has taught me, educated me by the divine revelation through the Holy Spirit. I had a young man at the age, he must have been at that time about 13 or 14, very destructive. I started out ministering a lot also during the hippie movement back in the early 70s. You know, I had a coffee house ministry. And every time I showed her films or whatever on deliverance, it seems like all the demons in Phoenix came to my. And so I wore against this thing till 3, 4, 5 in the morning on weekends. And it was tremendous what God did, because people got filled. But there was this particular instance, there was a young man about 14. One time I had taken about 14 youth up to the mountains. We went to advance with the youth. And this young man was very destructive and disruptive all the time. I'll tell you, I've learned a lot of big words in English. Come a long way, hon. But the thing that was so amazing with this young boy is we went up to the mountains, and we're out there in, you know, when you're in the forest like you have here, we're up in the forest, it's dark, there's no lights, no nothing. And as big as I am, I took this young boy with me, and I said, I want you to come with me. I said, well, he's a 14-year-old boy. You know, I'd spank him if I have to. And I told him, I said, his name was Scott, is Scott. And I said, Scott, one of the problems I see, I said, you don't even understand what's happening to you. And here's a boy that's come to fellowship with us and be part of our youth group. Because at that time, I had about probably 80, 100 youth that came to my meetings. And I baptized them in my swimming pool, you know. I said, well, you baptized them in the swimming pool? Yeah, we'll baptize them in the river. Baptized, because it's a command of God. It's not an option, it's a command. So I took him up there, and this young boy, I told him, I said, you don't even know, I said, that Satan is using you. You don't know the power of Satan. And I'm standing right in front of this young boy. You know, his squeaky voice got raspy and tough, and he growled at me. And I said, oh, my hair stood, you know, I got an afro. He curled up or just stood up, you know. Anyway, what happened is this young boy said to me,
what do you mean? I don't know about Satan. I'm a warlock.
You know, and I said, uh-oh. And I'll tell you, my flesh started shaking. I looked right in his eyes. Satan, demon, spirit. I said, my flesh might tremble, but my inner man is ready for you. And that's exactly what I said. And when he told me that, I said, you know, Scott, up your mother, you do everything, he says,
because your God healed my mother, you know?
And just tremendous warfare started. And he said to me, okay, I will serve your God. And so he knelt down in front of me, brother. And so I was going to cast that thing out and pray for him. When I went to do that, he sprung up and got me from the throat. And I'm saying, oh, it's a good thing. I felt like Samson, you know. Anyway, I knocked him off like that, and he started coming at me, and I started binding, and I started coming against the demonic forces. Finally, I took him where I could see him, because I said, man, I got to see where this, not only the demon, but I know where this person's coming from. And I went and got on a retaining wall, which was about 4 feet, and I jumped on it, and I'm 6'2". I got up, and I jumped on this retaining wall. And this young man is down here. I said, man, I can see him if I have to, either physically or spiritually. I can knock his teeth out, you know, whatever I have to do. But anyway, he was down there. And again, he says, I will serve your God. And he knelt down. Again, when I went like that with my hand, from his knees, he sprang up here. That would make about 10 feet to my neck. And he sprang up and got me again from the neck. And talk about not only a physical, spiritual warfare. It wasn't as intense as Jacob fighting with the angel of God, but it was a warfare nonetheless. And finally, I cast that thing out of him, and set him free by the power of God. And God, that young man now is serving the Lord. He's probably about 28 years old or so, serving God. I just talked to him last week. And this young man used to call me on the phone and just growl at me at midnight and all hours of the night. And I knew it was him. And when I started calling his name, he would hang up on me. But after I got him set free and delivered, and he came and apologized to me, I said, I know it wasn't you. I know it was a demonic spirit. So I've had my confrontation with demonic spirits, and nobody can tell me that it is not true. Nobody can tell me that they're not in Christians or people say, well, they probably weren't saved, brother. Well, you do a study on even Judas and all the disciples. You do a study on Claudio and all those brothers that were there, the backslider that was there. And you do a study on backsliding and see how many of the believers were there doing miracles and were with the miracles when Jesus was there, and yet they did their thing. And one of the things we need to understand is how to do spiritual warfare. The greatest thing that the church needs today is to have the spirit of discernment. I've talked to some people here already, and I've discerned their spirits, and I tell them, is this true? And they say, yes, it's true. And we're not here to embarrass anybody. We're here to set you free. Let me tell you something. A demon will hide only so much until somebody that's following God and believes in what he's doing, God will reveal it. And there's going to be deliverance, okay? It's like sin. You know, you might be sinning. You might think, you know, husbands, even Christian husbands and wives that step out on their spouses, and they believe that nobody's going to find out. You know, Christians that kiss their secretaries and say, well, nobody's going to find out, you know. God will expose every sin in your life. Why? He loves you. Not because he hates you. And so it is when demons are there, God is going to expose every demonic spirit, especially in the believer. And some of you don't even know what makes you tick sometimes. And it's not a flea or a tick, you know. It's just that demonic spirits are there and you need to get rid of them. But if you are open to the word of the Lord, God is going to teach you some things and set you free. You want to be set free? I want to be set free. I want to be totally free that I might worship him who has called me out of darkness to this marvelous life. And I might stand in his presence, and one of these days he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Amen. I don't know if you call it selfishness in the kingdom, but I want everything that God has for me. Amen. I hear they're going to give rewards up there or down here, wherever. Study to show yourself approved. I don't know, up there or down here. You know, we sing such dumb songs like, you know, build my cabin. You're going to have a cabin. He said, I'm going to have a mansion. Amen. Tired of walking on paved roads and dirt roads. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. Tonight I either might teach that message or go back to teaching what I was teaching out of James 4 and learn some things. I believe that in this hour, and God has in the last few, maybe 15 years or so, began to restore to the church the gifts again. You know, we talk about the gifts of God, and we only speak about tongues and, you know, this type of gifts and the gift of prophecy. Well, those are all good, and they're for edifying and building the church. But there's the gifts of deliverance, which we should have, is not only to build the church, but it's also to destroy the works of the evil one. And God is instructing us by the Holy Spirit in how to put back in place those aspects of Christian life that he has so desired that we have since the beginning of time. We have been misplaced because all these gifts have been misplaced through centuries. And God wants to restore those to us. The ministry of we call it deliverance. You could call it exorcism without getting mystical and spooky. Okay? And it deals with from out of delivering through evil spirits. And I believe this is being restored to the church. More and more, okay? I used to believe that Christians couldn't have demons, you know? And yet I did a study on it, and God showed me by the Holy Spirit. Nobody had to tell me that. I heard it one time, and I said, man, I'm going to study. And I'm going to see what God has to say in His Word so that I am not blind and walking in ignorance. There's a lot of things that I still don't know about Scripture. I'll tell you that. Sometimes I tell people, I say, well, I don't know everything, but I'm a know-it-all. Any know-it-alls here? So those are the things. I want you to turn with me to the book of Acts. And let's go to Acts 3 for a moment. Let's go to verse 19. Father, I ask that you would again open to see our spiritual eyes and our ears to hear, our spiritual ears, that we might hear what the Spirit is saying to us today. And we just want to bless you, and we want to worship you and thank you for it. In Jesus' name, everybody say amen. Let's go to verse 19 of Acts 3. Repent, therefore, and return that your sins may be wiped away, in order that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. and that he may send Jesus, the Christ appointed for you, whom heaven must receive until the period of restoration of all things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets from ancient times. And so here we're dealing with some of the things that the brother was teaching about the restoration of how we're coming into the kingdom. And it makes a lot of sense to me that God is going to restore those things to us. In my own office, I have dealt with people in ministry and people that have been so in tune with God and yet so bound by demonic forces that have tormented them. I have had ministry in my church, in my own office of deliverance, to ministers, to pastors, to their wives, from perversion to demonic, every kind of junk that is there. And I've seen them crawl like snakes, brother, in my office. They just hiss like snakes. Or they hiss at me, just like a snake. Interesting to me is that in the book of Revelation, we read that Satan is a dragon. We read in the book of Genesis that he was a serpent. He was a garden snake. Isn't it amazing that already in the book of Revelation, he's a dragon. He's increased. And so just because Satan is increasing in power, and we see that Jesus told us in the last days, evil will increase more and more. And Satan's going to be in an all-out war because he knows that his days are numbered. So what do? We just say, well, brother, it's already been. Christians have this mentality. Well, brother, Jesus said it was going to be this way. But Jesus didn't just say that. He made us aware of something that was taking place. And then he said, but I send you to destroy the works of the evil one. For greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. And so we just can't sit back and say, well, brother, it's getting worse and worse. And we know it's the end times. And one of these days we're going to go be with Jesus. No, I'm with Jesus now. Amen. And we need to understand how to take authority over demonic spirits that come, because Jesus is saying to us in the restoration that he's given us the gifts to the body of Christ to be able to defeat the works of the evil one. Why was Jesus manifest? Say it louder. That's it. So if Jesus was manifest and we are the sons of God, then we have the power to destroy the works of the evil one. Some of you have seen your children taken away by drugs, by perversion, in prisons, and all kind of junk happening. And yet we don't know how to war against it, so we just pray. You need to take authority and dominion over the spirits that have come to destroy your home and your relationship. Amen? Yesterday spoke a little bit about the spirit of divorce. That is, that it's a spirit. And we keep passing the buck all the time, you know. We keep blaming each other. It's not you, it's demonic forces that have come to destroy us. Remember the curses that God speaks about. Yesterday I was going to touch on this thing. One of the curses you read in Genesis 3 is that Jesus said that because Eve had messed up and taken the fruit of knowledge. I believe that that was the fruit of understanding. Somebody said, no, brother, it was an apple because we have an Adam's apple. I said, ah, shut up. We can come up with all kinds of stuff. It sounds good. I say, oh, yeah. Mine looks like a pear, you know. It's good to laugh. A merry heart doeth good like a medicine. Amen. Because I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make you laugh, but then I'm going to hit you. That's what jujitsu means. Who hit you? And so one of the things that you need to understand in this area of the curses and the demonic forces, God has put curses. He says, if you do such and such, I'm going to bless you. If you do such and such, I'm going to curse you. He's not talking about salvation now. He's talking about deliverance and the blessings of God that are going to come to us. Amen? And so I'm not dealing with your salvation. I'm dealing with a greater victory so you can come into the kingdom because of rewards and everything that's going to take place. One of the greatest things that we see in the curse is that some of you women don't understand the curse. The Bible says that because of the curse that was there, God said the woman is going to have the desire for the man. Is that what it says? Yes, it says that the woman's going to desire the man. It doesn't mean, honey, that she's going to love you. He's going to care for you. That means that she's going to want to rule over you. That's part of the curse. You understand that? And we've seen it all around. We've seen the women wanted to take over and you know, we want to be just like men. God didn't make you to be just like men. There's a difference. Emotionally, mentally, physically. And the woman says, but the curse is, that is the curse. But in Jesus Christ, we can control that. Usurping that authority that you will submit under me, because the Bible says that you are supposed to be under me. It says, because I'm going to lead you like Christ leads the church. Amen? Come on, women, you ought to say amen to that one. Wake up here. I'm kind of punching on your side now. I better change that because I take tomatoes and throw at me. I had a sister that came to my church about 3 years ago. And she was always sick. You know, she was, they had already cut her toes and she was constantly sick. And she came to my church and said, brother, I have a Bible degree from La Fuente Bible Institute in California. I've been teaching in the Assemblies of God for 25 years. And I'm full of the Holy Ghost and yet I'm sick all the time. And I went to see her in the hospital about two or three times when she was in the hospital. And all this time I'm asking God, reveal to me what I must do. And I used to go visit her, brother, and she would be hanging with her head. I'd be seeing it like this, brother, it's right here. And she would lay in bed with her head hanging and looking at me this way. And I said, sister, why do you lay that way and look at me this way? She says, because I feel better. And right then the Lord says, demonic spirit. And I said, okay. I'm in my car and I start talking to God. I says, let me set her free. About a week later, she called me in my office. And she said that her sister wanted to take her to see a chiropractor, but he was a spiritualist. I says, don't go there. I says, come over here, we'll pray for you. If not, there's a chiropractor right here. So he came and they called me and they said, this woman is ready to die. She's so sick. I said, she won't die. I'll set her free. I brought her. I had my dental lab, and then I had some dental chairs, you know. So we got her, set her in the chair, called one of the brothers that does deliverance with me. I said, I want you to come over and help me do deliverance on the sister. So because we were in my office, my church was just across the street. I was in a shopping center then ministering. And she came in, and we did with... I told him, I said, let's take her to the church because there's too many people coming in here already. So I got her in the car and I told her, I said, sister, I'm going to share with you what I see. There's witchcraft on you and there are demons in you. And she looked at me and I thought, if she hadn't been set free, I think the enemy would have killed her then. She said, brother, how do you know? I said, God revealed it to me. She said, my mother did witchcraft on me when I was a younger girl And I said, why did she do witchcraft? She says, well, because she was going with a young man and I took a young man from my mother. And I went out with him. And so my mother put a curse. She did witchcraft. She says, as a matter of fact, she says, in my house, I still have a little picture like that, a wallet-sized picture where my mother stuck the needle through the head in the picture. And she says, I suffer a lot with pain on my jaw and all in here. I always suffer with pain. So I'm going to cast that spirit out of you and we'll break those curses on you. And then we're going to go to your house and we're going to burn the picture. So I took her to the church and there sitting in front of the desk where I was ministering to her, she went like this, and opened her mouth. And inside I saw a white, something white in her mouth and I got her straightened out and I said, look at me. What is that white thing in your mouth? And she says, it's a piece of paper. I'm not kidding. It had a roll of paper about the size of a jawbreaker or a golf ball. She says, it's a piece of paper that this thing makes me carry, and I've been carrying it for 25 years. You know, it's not the same one, but she says, brother, she says, I've gone through rolls and rolls and rolls and rolls of paper towel. And so I said, spit it in my hand. And she spit it in my hand. I looked at that thing in my hand, and I said, Lord, have mercy. I threw it away. I said, you will never have to do that again. Says, but this thing makes me carry this thing, brother. I began to cast out that demonic spirit of torment and break the curse of witchcraft. And I began to set her free. She began to cough up and a spirit left her. And then I says, how do you feel? He says, man, I feel wonderful. So I went to her house and we looked for that picture that she had. And in finding that picture that she had, she couldn't find it, finally found it. And I'm not saying this, like I told my church, I'm not saying this to get mystical or spooky on you. But I burned that picture in her kitchen. And the whole house smelled like sulfur. It just a stinking smell. I said, goodness gracious. And again, you know, I just want to say to you, for some of you, I'm not trying to say anything other than the whole house smelled that way. The next day, she called me that evening. She says, "Brother, whom the sun sets free is free indeed." I said, "That's true." Next day, this happened on a Friday. The following Sunday, I was having service, and I saw her come out. I had a speaker in my church that day, and the sister called me, and I went up there to talk to her, and she says, "I am confused, brother." I says, "God is not the author of confusion." Guess who is? If you're confused, guess who's got you confused? If God says that God is not the author of confusion, then somebody's confusing you. Amen? You're either serving God or the devil. There's no in between. And so by doing that, I cast that thing out of her, and I says, "Sister," he says, "you know, I don't understand, brother." He says, "I have a Bible degree. I've graduated from Bible college. I'm full of the Holy Spirit. I've been a Assembly of God teacher for 25 years. I says, "I don't understand why those preachers never saw what you saw." I says, "Because they're not looking to destroy the works of the evil one. We're looking for the pie, sweet by and by, pie in the sky. One of these days, brother, no more tears, you know." That's true, no more tears. But while we're here, man, we got to grind and fight and set the captives free. So I set her free. And she came up and I said, "Do you allow me to share your testimony to the people?" So I did. The speaker got up and he said, "Well, all she did was renew her mind." I said, "Oh boy, I haven't had him back in my pulpit again." I love him though. But folks, it's real. It is real. And deliverance is real. And people are tormented and say, "Well, I'd like to meet the sister." "Well, come to Phoenix." She still comes to my church. One day she called me. She says, "Brother, they're going to take another toe off of me tomorrow." I says, "No, they're not. I'll be right there." I told my wife, "Come on, let's go set her free." We went over there. I said, "What happened?" She was in church Sunday. She says, "Doctor says my toes are okay." You know what? We need to destroy the works of the evil one. Amen. You say, "Brother, you mean you're never tormented, nothing come against you?" Oh, Lord, have mercy. Pray for me. But you know what? I'm telling you one thing. Today I have more joy and more peace and more victory in my life than I'd ever had in my entire life. There were no good old days, honey. This is the good days for me. Amen. Give the Lord a clap offering. Thank you, Jesus. God is so real. God is so real. Amen. And I believe that God has given you the power and the anointing and the blessing to destroy the works of the evil one. God didn't just say, "Well, I'm just going to have a Jack here and a brother Glenn over here and a sister over here," and that's it. No, he says, "If you instruct my people," and pastors, we need to instruct our people how to do warfare. Amen. I believe that if you stand, you will see the salvation of God, and I believe your family will come into the kingdom of God.
But it gets that way sometimes. And you know, people say, "Well, you know, they say that this..." Well, it happens. You know, it does happen. And we wish it didn't happen, but it does sometimes. And it gets ugly. You know, I've had it ugly in my office. I got a real weak stomach, you know. And I say, "Oh, God." You know. But I still don't back off. You know, that don't... Anyway, I spoke to him and knocked him on the floor. And this guy started like a dog. He started growling like a dog. And then he started foaming at the mouth. And people say, "Well, those things, they do happen sometimes. We're not looking for it to happen. It's demonic spirits are there." And this thing began to growl at me, and pretty soon began to throw up. And I said, "Listen to him. Come out of him. The spirit of torment and hate, listen to him in the name of Jesus and come out of him." He got up and he started weeping. And he looked at me and he hugged me. He said, "Brother, I love you." I said, "I know you do." I said, "But if you want to keep straight with God, I want you to get in the Word. I want you to study the Word. I want you to submit to the kingdom and to the leadership of the church. Otherwise," I says, "let me tell you something about demons. If they've been resident in you and they like you, they really don't want to leave. And sometimes some of them give a battle, but they have to come out. They have to come out. It's a command of God. We have a power and authority. Just because they bluff you for a while don't mean they're going to stay. Come on. They got to go. That's the word of God. God has authority over... He's given us authority over demonic spirits. And we have the power and the authority to move them out of people. And let me tell you something. Sometimes they don't want to leave, and they love where they are. I've had spirits tell me. I went to a minister that says, well, I don't do deliverance because I did deliverance one time, and this woman coughed something that looked like a frog on my hand, and she coughed it up, she says, and she still died. I said, so what? So you're not going to do deliverance because she died? I don't know if you understand frogs or not. You know, I know everything's created by God, but that's one of the symbols that always frogs signify demonic spirits. Let me tell you something, folks. God has his emblems and his, you know, we see the emblem of the Holy Spirit. We have our emblems in the kingdom, and Satan has his. And you need to understand the counterfeit of Satan. Satan always tried to counterfeit that which is genuine, that which is real. He doesn't counterfeit don't counterfeit $1 bills. He will always counterfeit something that is real, that's going to benefit. And remember that Satan has a blood covenant, and we have a blood covenant. Remember that they worship, and we worship. Remember that they pray, and we pray. And so there is a fine line sometimes drawn, because a lot of times some of the things that you see in the church, they call it New Age because it's such a close parallel to the counterfeit of the demonic spirits of the mind of Satan that comes to bring deception and bluff the church. And people say, well, I don't like that because it's New Age. You don't know beans about New Age, and you don't know beans about the kingdom of God. Oh, say, I'm going to learn. I'm going to know what I'm doing. I'm not going to be deceived anymore. The enemy has nothing in me because he had nothing in Christ. And I'm washed in the blood, and I'm called for a purpose that I might worship him who has called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You need to understand the counterfeit of the enemy. Deceitful. He can only deceive you. Amen. You have power and you have authority over the demonic forces. In our churches, you know, split after split after split after split. We need to come against that spirit of dissension and dissension. Deceitfulness, that is there. I believe that if you stand, you will see the salvation of God. And I believe your family will come into the kingdom of God. If you stand and believe and do warfare. Don't just stand, do warfare. Amen. My mother did warfare. She had an uppercut. Ooh. I tell my mother, she taught me how to fight, you know. Little bitty thing, but she was about 4 some with arms that were 6 feet long. Seems like you were running out the door and mama knew how to stretch out and catch you. One of the things that we see is there are some problems that are connected with restoration. And many Pentecostals or charismatics, they have the testimony of deliverance, but not the scriptural content to go with it. And we need to back everything that we do and everything that we say with scripture, okay? The sure word of prophecy is what? The word of God, the written word. This is the sure word. See, that's why the brother appreciates what the brother says. If there's going to be prophecies, I want the elders to be there because we want to need to back it up with the word of God, okay? Let me just share some things. Look with me to the book of Luke, and let's go to Luke 8. Man, time flies by when you're having fun. In the book of Luke chapter 8, let me tell you something about deliverance. You don't have to scream at demons, okay? And you don't have to shake their head. You just have to take authority. Authority is not screaming. Authority is knowing who you are in Christ. A policeman doesn't have to get up and yell. He just goes, you stop, you know. And so it is in the kingdom of God, you know, because if you start shaking head, come out of there, then we're going to have to do praying for healing on the neck, and it's going to take longer, you know, it's frustrating. I had ministered in Clifton, Arizona one time, and I had preached that night, and God done some tremendous things. And here, it was during one of those times when the hippie movement was, this long-haired guy came, and I mean, he looked, I knew he was, demons, and they were, when I came out of the house, we went to the pastor's house, and we were there, and when I came out to the back door, here are all the brothers just screaming and hollering and, you know, shaking his head, and he turned loose, and I'm coming out, and he looked at me, and he said, I hate you. Say what? He said, I hate you. And I walked over to him, and I said,
I'm going to talk to you. You don't hate me, but the demon in you hates me.
He says, I don't know, but I hate you.
And I said, let him go. Didn't even touch him. Didn't even lay a hand on him. A lot of times when I do deliverance, I don't want nobody laying hands. And I said, I command you in the name of Jesus to come out of him. He threw him down on the floor. You know, a lot of people get spooky and say, well, you got people throw up. Well, they do sometimes. It gets nasty and ugly. Boogers and everything come out. Anybody have a cert? But it gets that way sometimes. And you know, people say, well, you know, they say that, well, it happens. You know, it does happen. And we wish it didn't happen, but it does sometimes. And it gets ugly. You know, I've had it ugly in my office. I got a real weak stomach, you know. And I say, oh, God, you know. But I still don't back off, you know. Anyway, I spoke to him and knocked him on the floor. And this guy started like a dog. He started growling like a dog. And then he started foaming at the mouth. And people say, well, those things, they do happen sometimes. We're not looking for it to happen. The demonic spirits are there. And this thing began to growl at me and pretty soon began to throw up. And I said, listen to him. Come out of him. The spirit of torment and hate. Listen to him in the name of Jesus and come out of him. He got up and he started weeping. He looked at me and he hugged me. He said, brother, I love you. I said, I know you do. I said, but if you want to keep straight with God, I want you to get in the Word. I want you to study the Word. I want you to submit to the kingdom and to the leadership of the church. Otherwise, I says, let me tell you something about demons. If they've been resident in you and they like you, they really don't want to leave. And sometimes some of them give a battle, but they have to come out. They have to come out. It's a command of God. We have a power and authority. Just because they bluff you for a while don't mean they're going to stay. Come on. They got to go. That's the word of God. God has authority over, he's given us authority over demonic spirits, and we have the power and the authority to move them out of people. And let me tell you something. Sometimes they don't want to leave, and they love where they are. I've had spirits tell me. I went to a minister that says, well, I don't do deliverance because I did deliverance one time, and this woman coughed something that looked like a frog on my hand, and she coughed it up. She says, and she still died. I said, so what? So you're not going to do deliverance because she died? I don't know if you understand frogs or not. You know, I know everything's created by God, but that's one of the symbols that always frogs signify demonic spirits. Let me tell you something, folks. God has his emblems and his, you know, we see the emblem of the Holy Spirit. We have our emblems in the kingdom and Satan has his. And you need to understand the counterfeit of Satan. Satan always tried to counterfeit that which is genuine, that which is real. He doesn't counterfeit don't counterfeit $1 bills. He will always counterfeit something that is real, that's going to benefit. And remember that Satan has a blood covenant and we have a blood covenant. Remember that they worship and we worship. Remember that they pray and we pray. And so there is a fine line sometimes drawn because a lot of times some of the things that you see in the church, they call it New Age because it's such a close parallel to the counterfeit of the demonic spirits of the mind of Satan that comes to bring deception and bluff the church. And people say, well, I don't like that because it's New Age. You don't know beans about New Age and you don't know beans about the kingdom of God. Say, I'm going to learn. I'm going to know what I'm doing. I'm not going to be deceived anymore. The enemy has nothing in me. And I'm washed in the blood. And I'm called for a purpose that I might worship him who has called me out of darkness into this marvelous light. Hallelujah. You need to understand the counterfeit of the enemy. Deceitful. He can only deceive you or bluff you. Amen? And you have power and you have authority over the demonic forces that come in your life. In our churches, you know, split after split after split after split. We need to come against that spirit of dissension and dissension. Deceitfulness that is there. And we need to bind those spirits. I've had people in the church that have been in deliverance with me that they themselves needed deliverance and they couldn't see it and they caught a split in my church until I had to say, leave. Don't want to fellowship with you. Don't want to straighten up and fly right. And now I don't know everything in the kingdom. I'm learning. I'm picking brains out of from the ministry that's been there longer than me. I've only been a pastor for 6 years. Teaching and ministering for 21 years already. So I do know a little bit of what I'm doing.
I just look ignorant, but I'm not that ignorant. I just act that way sometimes.
Are you receiving from me this morning?
God is going to teach you some things if you're willing to be open to the instruction of the Holy Spirit so that you might be a mighty vessel for the glory of God. And I don't want you to go back to your church and begin to cast every demon out of your pastor. Because you're going to leave the church sooner than you think. You know? You need to walk with wisdom. You need to pray for him. And you need to, sometimes, you know, you just need to pray, God, send somebody to minister to this brother. And just because we have understanding, we don't come against the brothers. You know, I don't come against Baptists because they don't speak in tongues, man. I just teach the truth. Amen? I'm not there to go over and say, well, you got to do what I do. No, I just say, Lord, teach him. I get a lot of static, you know, even in my church. I have people sitting there that I'm teaching that are saying, well, brother, I don't know. I've tried it, but it don't work. You know, I in my own church, I preach and people get up and you feel like you preach one of the most anointing services with more revelation than you've had before. And people are passing by, 20, 40 people pass by. Well, it can be that much because I only have 10. No. Evangelistically speaking. No, I have more. I pastor a church about 300, I guess, or so. But kids in every nursery. But you know what? People come up and say, man, I received the word and all these things. And all of a sudden, here comes one. You know, he's got a line of Bible. He's a dolly, you know. He pushes it right in front of him and says, I don't agree with you. I said, I love you, brother. Is that all right? And some of you might do the same here today to me or to the other brothers and say, well, I don't agree. Well, don't be mad, because then I have to cast out the spirit of anger. You need to understand that everything that comes against us that is wrong has to have a demonic influence on it or in it. And if we understand those principles, you need to understand what happened at the Garden of Eden with Adam and Eve. And then you have to understand what happened to Cain and Abel. In Cain and Abel, I think there was only one, not just one spirit that came to Cain. I think there was four spirits. Because first of all, you need to understand that where there's jealousy, there's all kinds of evil the Bible teaches in the book of James. And I'm going to teach probably again tonight if I do, that you know, the wisdom of the world is demonic. If we think with a rational mind all the time and think like the world, the Bible says it's demonic influence. It's demons. And let me just share something with you that, you know, you look at Cain and Abel, and the thing that happened here, brother, is, first of all, jealousy was there. The spirit of jealousy. It's a spirit. Jealousy is a spirit. Because I'll tell you what, if you really know what you're doing in your marriage covenant, there's no jealousy. I'm not guarding my wife with binoculars. I got a telescope. Love sets us free. And if we don't allow this demonic spirit's influence to come and demonic spirit to get into us, then we're going to have freedom. Freedom of love in the body of Christ. Freedom in our home. One of the most destructive spirits in the home is the spirit of jealousy that comes into husband or wife. And jealousy, you know, it's like the rivalry even in children. In your children, they're fighting. There's jealousy. You need to break that spirit. I sit my children down and I come against that spirit of anger, the spirit of dissension, the spirit of jealousy. And we cast it away from them. I don't care how many times we do it, brother. We're going to do it. And they're going to be set free to worship God. And they're going to know deliverance. And they're going to know the power of God in their lives. Jealousy. First of all, jealousy was there with Cain. Amen. And then anger, and then hate, and then murder. Four ruling spirits. But people say, well, that's not true. Listen, I'm telling you the truth. And some of you are dealing with jealousy right now in your home, in your relationship, in your marriage covenant. And man, I'll tell you one thing, folk. If the enemy doesn't use that to destroy your home and demonic spirit is not there, you better wise up. Because let me tell you something, there's going to come a spirit of dissension and a spirit of divorce that's going to split you wide open. I had a preacher that went through some areas. And let me tell you, if you've been divorced and remarried, hey, praise God, follow the Lord now and don't do it anymore. You know, if you married somebody else, follow through and follow the Lord. If He's forgiven you for it, then walk in it. See, nobody can hold a charge to me. I don't care how many come against me or my relations or whatever.
Nobody can hold a charge to me. I know who I am and I know what the Bible teaches about me. And you need to know what the Bible teaches about the power that is in you to destroy the work of the evil one in your life. Come on, folks.
Well, Brother Jack.
It's a deep subject, honey. Let's go to Luke 8. I haven't forgotten. Look at Luke 8, 35. We need to have the scriptural basis of whatever we do, okay? In verse 35 of Luke 8, it says, "And the people went out to see what had happened, and they came to Jesus and found the man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed in his right mind, and they became frightened. And those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well. And all the people of the country of the..." how do you pronounce that word? Gadareans. Okay. See, I don't know everything. "And the surrounding district asked him to depart from them, for they were gripped with great fear, and he got into a boat and returned. But the man from whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, 'Return to your house and describe what great things God has done for you.' And he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. And as Jesus returned, the multitude welcomed him, for they had all been waiting for him." And if we have the scriptural content to know what we're talking about, then our testimony is going to be backed up not only by the written word, it's going to be backed up by the whole kingdom. Everything that we're doing that is right is not backed up only by one scripture. It's backed up by the Holy of Holies. It's backed up by the kingdom of God. It's backed up by the Father. It's backed up by the Son. It's backed up by the Holy Spirit. It's backed up by the anointing of the kingdom. When I come and speak to the demon, I'm just not coming as Jack Duran. I'm coming and I'm saying, "Demon, I belong to a kingdom that is bigger than any kingdom. And in the name of Jesus and in this kingdom, I command you." That's literally what we're saying to the demonic forces. "I'm coming to you with all the artillery that is backing me up." Come on. You need to see that so that you don't tremble. You see, a Christian should not go and do warfare out of fear. If your flesh is trembling, then you bring it under subjection and say, "I don't care how many goosebumps I get, I'm going to go in the name of Jesus, because I know that greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world." And if we stand on the word of God, demons have to go, demonic spirits have to leave, sickness has to flee. Come on. And don't get under condemnation and say, "Well, brother, you know," a lot of people come and say, "Well, you're not healed because you don't have faith, brother." You don't want to hear that. It's like telling a prostitute she's a prostitute. She already knows it. You don't need somebody to come and shake you with the word of God. You need somebody to come and say, "Brother, we're going to believe." And you teach them how to believe, how to receive. Believe, remember that. Believe is an action word of grasping, of getting a hold of. You get a hold of truth, you move mountains. Amen? How many of you are saying, "Man, I'm growing"? You better be growing because we're watering you with the word. Amen? Amen. And God says that we will grow according to the word, and we're going to see the power of God. Let me share another story about my... I have a brother who was an alcoholic. There was a curse of alcohol in my family coming through my father. Even though my father was saved, there was still the curse of alcohol coming through the bloodline. All kinds of junk coming through the bloodline. You need to check out the bloodline. You know the doctors, I was telling the brothers, the doctors are smarter than the Christians. You know why? Because a doctor will always ask you, "Did your mother have diabetes? Did your mother have heart attack? Did your father have a..." And they check all the curses through the bloodline. Come on. If we understand those curses, then we can break them. My father, before he was saved, he was an alcoholic. I was an alcoholic. I got saved coming out of the L.A. County jail. Drugs, booze, wine, women, song, the whole thing. I had to break those curses. God had to set me free. I'm setting my family. My own family is being set free. A lot of my brothers are coming to the kingdom of God. My 64, 65-year-old older brother, who's the oldest of the family, said, "Once you die, brother, that's it. You just go." And then before I leave, he says, "Pray for me. Just in case. Just in case I'm wrong." I mean, you know, when you're in battle, I don't care if you're in Vietnam or whatever, man, you get the Jewish cross, or what is it? You get the Star of David, and, you know, you fall out to Mary, you know, I don't know. In desperation, amen. But my brother, one of my other older brothers, I'm the third one from the last of 11 kids. All guys and two girls. Talk about a mother that, sheesh, I'll tell you, bless her soul. You know, my mother's precious lady, you know, she used to slap me. Oh, God. And I used to get her hands, you know. And I says, don't do that, because you're not hurting me. And then she says, it hurts me more to do this. I said, well, don't punish yourself. My brother, who's now about 56, 57 years old, my brother was an alcoholic that really took his wife through a living hell here on earth. My brother is a man that went out to get drunk 3 or 4 times a week. I mean, he didn't just go to have a party. He went to get drunk. You know what I'm saying? He wasn't a social drinker. He knew that if he was going to go drink, he was going to go get drunk. That was his purpose. And I'll tell you, you've seen drunks, you know, that you've seen these drunks that, you know, you call them chicken chasers. But my brother came to my church here about almost 2 years ago. And I was having a revival. I call it revival. God was doing some tremendous things. And I called him up. 2 or 3 of my other brothers were there. And I did deliverance on my brother. My brother has had 2 quadruple bypasses. Still getting drunk like he was before. I called him up and I said, brother, I said, don't you think it's time to give God a real chance in your life? And I began to do deliverance. And I really cast out that spirit of addiction that was there in alcohol. And I broke the curses through the bloodline. And my brother surrendered. And he got up the following meeting crying, weeping like a little boy. And he asked his wife to forgive him. He says, I've taken my wife through a literal living hell on this earth. Precious woman, I'll tell you, lovely lady. Says, I've taken her through a living hell, but now I've repented. And I know that I'm set free from the demonic spirit of alcohol. And up to this day, he hasn't had a drink. And praise God. Amen. Why deliverance was there. Amen. And the power of God is real, folks. And God brings us into a place of... I want you to stand with me. You see, you can develop a theology. You can develop a theology on deliverance just by experience with demons, okay? You can develop that. It's already here. It's already written, okay? The only way that you can develop a theology is by the absolute guidelines of the Word of God. Okay? I'll tell you, folks, I wish were horses, beggars would ride this thing. I would desire that, I thank God that I don't know. I only know that I'm victorious and one of these days I'm going to see Him face to face. Yeah. I'm going to tell you something. I thank God that He never asked me or showed me what was involved in ministry. Somebody asked me, one of the elderly brothers, I says, if you knew what was involved in being a pastor, would you be a pastor? I said, are you kidding me? There's a lot more involved in ministry than meets the eye. Paul said, man, I'm so frustrated. I says, warring against demons, against everything that comes against me, and then I have to deal with the church. That's true, folks. See, one of the things that you need to understand, I have no problems with the drunks, and I have no problem with the sinner outside the church. They don't come and bother me. Boy, but the church, they give me a run for my money. I feel like asking for a raise every Sunday, you know. But it's true, folks, and we understand demonic activity, what's coming on. Remember that iron sharpens iron, and another man sharpens another man. Amen. And you need to understand the power of the influence of demonic spirits that come. And so we need to really develop. Because you need to understand. I'm going to close with this scriptures that I'm going to read. I didn't even go through half of this message. But I gave you enough things to think about and whet your appetite. Okay? And I trust that you are going to be a good Berean. And that you're going to follow the word. In the book of John chapter 8 verse 44. It says this, you are of your father the devil, and you want to do the desires of your father. He was a murderer from the beginning and does not stand in truth because there is no truth in him. Whenever he speaks a lie, he speaks from his own nature, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Every time, see, Satan is a liar. Every time he comes, he lies. And the way he says it, does God really say? And he still says that to the church. Does God really punish you for that? Don't try it. Because he probably will. And I'm going to close with the scriptures out of 2 Corinthians. And I'm going to take you to 2 Corinthians 11. And I'm going to read out of verse 3. But I am afraid lest the serpent, as the serpent deceived Eve by his craftiness, your mind should be led astray from the simplicity of purity of devotion to Christ. For such a man are false apostles, deceitful workers, disguising themselves as apostles of Christ. And no wonder, for even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. Therefore, it is not surprising if his servants also disguise themselves as servants of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their deeds. You need to be aware that Satan comes as an angel of light. He comes to the churches. And preachers, let me tell you something that you need to understand. There's a spirit of witchcraft that has come against the church that pastors don't even understand. And it's coming and it's being influenced by a lot of the body of Christ because they don't know. You know, when you get mad at your pastors and you leave their churches and you get frustrated with them and you begin to say, well, that pastor's all washed up. You know, that church isn't going to make it. Guess who's speaking? The devil is. You're not only cursing a preacher, you're also being influenced by witchcraft. Let me tell you something. There's no such thing as white magic. Everything is deceitfulness. And you need to understand that the things that you speak, the Bible says that we're snared with the words of our mouth. And James said, you know, sour and sweet comes out of your mouth. Evil and good comes out of your mouth. He said, those things ought not to be. Because the devil, that's what he entraps and that's what he uses to destroy the work of God in our churches. And that's why there's so much destruction and deception and all kind of contentions in the church. You read James 4 and begin to understand what God is saying. If you want the blessings of God in your life, you line up with the Word and you repent. We need to repent and come before God and say, fill me that I might destroy the works of the evil one. I had a brother that was doing deliverance with me. I don't let him do deliverance with me anymore. I don't even let him come to my church anymore. Because he got so caught up on the gift of doing deliverance that nothing else matters. See, the gift of prophecy, all the gifts have to blend. Because God has not only given us gifts, He's given us character, friend. And God has endowed us with gifts that we might use the gifts. I flow in the gift of prophecy. I flow in the gift of discernment. And when God wants me to, I flow in every gift He's got. But I don't have every gift just because I'm a Christian. I don't operate in every gift. I said, well, brother, you should. Well, I have. I am an exhorter to the body of Christ, and I exhort you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Yes. I want to do the same. Oh, hold hands with the person across the aisles right now. We're going to pray. Father, in the name of Jesus this morning, Father, I come against every hindering spirit that comes to destroy the workings of your might in the middle of your church. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we bind our hearts and our faith together to destroy the works of the evil one. And we cry unto you, Father, this morning we repent of our error and our lack of knowledge even, because we've been lazy enough not to press into the kingdom. And Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that it's not by power nor by might, but by your Spirit. We know, Father, that we don't wrestle against each other, but against the evil forces of darkness. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I ask that restoration would just come to the fellowship today of marriages being bound together, that the deceitfulness of sin and contention and divorce will not separate that which you have joined together by your Spirit in the marriage covenant. And Father, I come against the spirit of divorce in the name of Jesus. And in the name of Jesus, I break your power. And I release the anointing of reconciliation and power and blessing to the saints today. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I come against the spirit of perversion in the bedroom of the saint. And Father, I break the lust, Father. And I release love and blessing and that which is natural in the sight of God.
And in the name of Jesus, Father, we come boldly to the throne of grace. And we ask, Father, for that special anointing that breaks the yoke and makes us to stand uprightly and right without shame in the presence of an awesome God. And in the name of Jesus, Father, I break every spirit of haughtiness, every spirit of rebellion, every spirit, Father, of rejection. Go in the name of Jesus. You will not destroy the works of God in this place. And Father, I release blessing, anointing, and joy, and peace in the name of Jesus. I want you to speak with your word. Satan, I speak to you now. You will not destroy my home. You will not destroy my husband. You will not destroy my wife. You will not destroy my children. You will not have a part in my home. I am sanctified. I am set apart for the glory of God. Demonic spirits, I speak to you in the name of Jesus. Go from me in the name of Jesus. I take authority over you. I walk with authority by the word, by the blood, by the name of Jesus. And I stand as a warrior today, believing for greater things in my life. And now, Father, I thank you for the blessings that are mine through Jesus Christ. And now I thank you, Holy Spirit, for teaching me great things this day. Amen. Hallelujah.
You may be seated for a moment. Lunch is ready. And this afternoon at 1:30 or 1:15, the men will meet here in the front of the auditorium, and the ladies will go upstairs over your head into a dormitory that we use for an auditorium, 1:15. And then when that is over, whenever we all get back together here about 2:30, we'll have an afternoon teaching and deliverance service, and Irma and I will be teaching this afternoon. And this evening, Brother Jack got twisted between today and tomorrow. Brother Speed will be ministering this evening in the evening service. Brother Wilson, Colonel Speed Wilson. There are still some who are traveling. Gene and Earlene Moody will be here sometime this evening. The Lord strengthen her so she can travel. And we just pray the protection on the highway for them as they travel, as they come. Amen. Father, we thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your word. We thank you for our minds to be able to receive and to understand, Father, that we may be taught. Help us to be teachable, Lord. We break the spirit of tradition from off of us and the tradition of the elders that some of us that we have sat under, that I have sat under, Father, for years, and still am troubled with some of these areas. Help us, Lord, to shed the spirit of the elders and be able to rightly divide your word and to apply it to the hour and the day we live in. We bless the food, make it health and strength to us. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.